we're starting a new series. It is called Blessed. I was not around during the Jesus movement. I have studied it academically, and he doesn't know I'm talking about this, and he may be watching this morning. My dad is like a child of the Jesus movement, right? He grew up in churches in the 70s. Like, he was part of that super Jesus pseudo hippie movement. In fact, to show you, he actually was a member of a band in the 70s called, I kid you not, Sunshine, but sun is spelled S-O-N, like Jesus, like sunshine. Isn't that great? Today we are starting a brand new series we're calling Blessed. We're excited about it. And over the course of the series, we're actually going... Stop it. Over the course of this series, we're actually... I think you're just calling... No, she's calling somebody. Over the course of the series, we are in the book of Genesis, right? Starting at about chapter 12 through the end of the book of Genesis over the next several weeks. And so if you are interested, obviously it's a lot of territory to cover, and so we're not going to read all of it. So if you want to read along with us over the next 6 weeks through this series, Genesis 12 through the end of Genesis is where we are going to be. And we're talking about really four guys. There's these four guys, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, right? And they're kind of these patriarchs of our faith, but there's something about these guys. There's something different with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even Joseph, that they walk in a different level of blessing. And there's this concept of covenant that they each possess, which is a promise between them and God. We're going to talk about covenants a lot. And all you need to know about covenants is that it is a promise between man and God in the context of Genesis. Right? It is a binding promise. It's not just like a promise like, hey, I promise that I'm not going to make fun of your team if they lose, because I can say I promise that, but I may not really hold up that. I mean, it is a bound, written, like, just so you understand the idea of covenant, if that promise is broken, usually the party that breaks it dies, right? I mean, that is the level of depth of this covenant. But there's something to this covenant that God makes with these men that I think is important for us to study. And there's something about the blessing that they walked in that I think is important for us to look at. I think that the phrase we hear blessed the most, unless we're looking at Twitter, is when someone sneezes, right? You say, oh, bless you. Well, fun fact, when I was growing up, I actually thought, and I was real Southern in Alabama at the time, and I thought that the phrase was bless you, like bless your shoe. And I don't know why no one ever, in fact, sometimes when I sneeze and no one's around, I'll go, bless me. Because of the correlation with shoe and shmee. There's no correlation. But it's this idea that I grew up with, thinking like there's something about your feet that has to do when you sneeze. That may be a really skewed idea of blessing, but I think that some of us also may have a skewed view of blessing. And maybe it's not quite shoe-oriented. But I think that if we look at it, we're going to see some things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, right? And he says in verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work," right? This is the concept of blessing, is that all that we receive from God is sufficient for a good work that we are called to. The idea of blessing is this idea that we receive from God what only God can give. Right? And that's important for us to understand, because I can say, well, I'm going to bless you, Brett. I'm going to give you $5. It's a blessing to you, right? Sure, Brett may like $5. I don't have any, sorry. Like, I don't have any money for you right now. But there's something different from a blessing from God. See, a blessing from God is a blessing. It's to receive from God what only he can give. And I may be able to give Brett $5, and God may provide $5, but only God can provide $5 in the way that God can provide $5. Clear as mud? Yeah. We're going to get into this. All right. See, we often belittle the concept of blessing by invoking it to help us feel better or to ascribe anything good that we've had. This is what I mean, right? You know, we're looking for this idea of blessing in the concept of, hey, this is how I feel. I feel blessed right now. How are you doing? Oh, well, I'm blessed. I'm guilty of this. I sign my emails, blessing Joel Wood. If you've got an email from me, it says, blessings, Joel Wood. It seems like a good churchy thing, and I don't know when I started doing that. I think it was in high school. That was a long time ago, but I still am signing this. I'm guilty of this. Sometimes we look at blessings as just the good things that happened to us. Oh, it was such a, I got so blessed this week. Nothing bad happened. It was a blessing. My kids got to go back to school in person. Right? No, I'm not trying to belittle that because that is a big deal. But don't mistake good things that happen with blessings from God because they're not the same. Now, that being said, sometimes God blesses us through good things happening. But the blessing of God is something that only He can give. And it goes so much deeper and so much wider. You see, our faith is something more than Sunday morning. This is a concept that we often talk about. But our faith is something more than Sunday morning because our God is bigger than just one day of the week. And so with our faith that's bigger than Sunday morning, we also have to recognize that we get blessed from God, not just when good things happen, not just when we're at church, but there's a consistency to this over and over and over again. In fact, there's a quote by Charles Spurgeon that says, every hour of every day, God is richly blessing us, both when we sleep and when we wake. His mercy waits upon us. He says, a blessing that only God could give, and the result of that is the salvation of me and you. We choose to follow Jesus, there is a level of blessing that we receive that only God could give. And that mercy isn't just a one-time thing. It's not just a, all right, Jesus, come into my heart. We prayed, we're good. We got our fire insurance, we're good to go. There's something more to that. And I love how Spurgeon describes this, right? Both when we asleep, when we're asleep and when we're awake, His mercy waits upon us. And when we receive the blessings of God, things change in a radical way for us. And so before we jump into this, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12 this morning, if you want to open your Bibles. So before we jump into the story of Abraham, the same guy, we need to separate from our mind the idea of blessings as being, you know, stocking stuffers for our everyday life, and accept the fact that there's something more and greater and grander in this gift that what we receive from God, that is the full abundance that equips us for every good work. So to understand that, I think it helps us to look at Genesis chapter 12, right? Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to this guy named Abram. Abram is the same guy as Abraham. Anybody grow up in like a traditional church during VBS with the Father Abraham had many sons. All right, yes. We're talking about that concept today. This week and next week, we're talking about this guy, Abraham. I talked fast. I'm going to use the names interchangeably. So if you see it says Abram and I say Abraham, just know it's the same guy, okay? Can you give me a little grace? I recognize there's a point in scripture where God specifically changes his name. But I'm going to go ahead and apologize ahead of time. As I was going over this, I kept catching myself going, no, that's not his name. Stop it. So I'm going to apologize ahead and hope I'm not going to do it. So here we go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we're introduced to this guy named Abram. And Abram is a descendant of Noah. And through Abram, we get these promises of God. And like I said, it is Abraham. His wife is named Sarah. Abraham is the father of Isaac, the grandfather of Jacob, the great-grandfather of Joseph, right? We know Abraham. Most of us, if you've been to any Middle Eastern faith, you understand the name Abraham. He is an important figure in our faith, and we're going to take just a little bit of time to look at some specific things about him because I think there's something different about this guy. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. This is normally the point where I have this open already, right? Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country to your and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All right, and there we go. Right off the bat, right when we are introduced to Abram, we see that there's a conversation he has with God where God says, Abram, go to the place I tell you and you will be blessed. At the very beginning, we know something about this guy. That God gives him instruction and he receives blessing from God. When a baby is born today, most of the time, the information you get, like, is the baby healthy? Are they okay? And then, like, what's the length? What's the weight? What's, like, the gender? Like, we give information, right? When we are introduced to someone for the first time, like, as infants, normally we find out, you know, statistical information about their physiology. In the same way in Scripture, when we're introduced to Abraham for the first time, we're given the important things to acknowledge who he is. He hears from God words where God is commanding him to do something, and he receives blessing from God. It's all the vital information that we need to begin understanding who he is, to understand the place that he grows from. Just like when we understand a place where a baby grows from, this is where we understand where Abraham grows from. Verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, that's his nephew, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they sent out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place called Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going to the Negev. It's interesting, as we introduce to this guy, we're introduced to some of these concepts of who Abraham is. And it's interesting because he continually builds altars. You know, he had this experience with God where God showed up. He told him he's going to bless his descendants and give them this whole land, right? Giving them this place to live in. And at that place, Abram builds an altar. He goes on a little bit past Shechem, and he pitches his tent, which is he settles. He living in a tent at the time. He's somewhat nomadic of a person, and he lives there. And by the way, when it says he pitches his tent, it's not like when you and I go camping and we put a tent up to live in. This dude is extremely wealthy. He has servants and slaves and cattle. I mean, it's a whole small village that travels with him. Something like 315, I think it says at one place in Scripture. I don't know the exact number at this point. But know that this is not just a guy and his wife and nephew. Right? Abraham, Lot, and Sarai, that's like the head people. Like, those are the important ones. There's all of these other people that live and work and dwell with them, right? And so he settles in this area, and where he settles, he builds an altar. It's interesting because this same process repeats itself two more times. So on four different occasions, we see Abram building an altar. Three of those is after he places his dwelling somewhere. And really the first one is when he is given a whole land to dwell in. It's an interesting fact because it tells us that where Abram lived, he also worshiped. He wasn't willing to separate where he lived from where he worshiped. He didn't have, you know, his worship altar over here that he just went to on Sundays, and like the rest of his job and his work and stuff that he did over here the rest of the week. Where he lived, he worshiped. And he called upon the name of the Lord. You see, Abram made worship of God a priority in his life. And not just singing, although that's great, right? It's the presence of God in the prayer language of God that we have. It's the willingness to listen It's not just singing songs. It's so much more. It's walking in relationship with God. It's giving that adoration to God. It's building an altar to worship him at. Abram made worship of God a priority. And this is something for us as we think about blessing and we think about our understanding of what it means to be blessed by God. Just a simple question. Have you made worship of God a priority in your life? More than just a Sunday, more than just a Sunday and a small group, what does it look like to worship continually? Scripture says that we're to pray without ceasing. What does it look like to pray continually? And some of you may be going, that sounds really, really boring. But I think once we move past this idea that prayer and worship are boring, then we can walk into something that is going to be really good for us. In high school, I had a friend who her dad built on, they had kind of some land out in West Texas, and they built on their property like a small, like chapel, like church. And I remember we would go over there and we would use the chapel because we would climb up on the roof so we could look at the stars. And I remember walking through there and even having this thought like, man, I like going to youth group, but I don't know if I'd want like a church in my backyard. Like, what happens like if I do something real bad? Like there's a church right there. Because somewhere in my mind, I connected the concept of worship with just church. And worship is more than just church. Worship is where we live. It's where we go. We are the temples of God. We are living altars, or we're living sacrifices. We are worshiping God with how we live our lives, or we're not. It's not just about coming and going on Sunday. Are you living your life as a living sacrifice? Are you living a life to worship? Because when Abram made worshiping God a priority, we see him continue to receive these blessings. When we interact with God, we position ourselves to receive his blessing. It's exactly what Abram did. It is exactly what we do when we worship him. We open ourselves up. My little girl, she runs up to me all the time, especially when I get home. She's so excited to see me. And dad, and she does this. She opens herself up to receive affection from me. When we worship God, we are opening ourselves up to receive that blessing and to walk more in it. The other thing we see in this passage with Abram is the idea is that he was blessed to bless. This blessing wasn't exclusively just for him. It went beyond him. It was more than that. Verses 2 says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That's a lot. That's a lot to be blessed. But don't miss the fact that the blessing wasn't exclusively for Abram. That blessing was meant to go on and on and on. And this is the value of this covenant that we see that we're going to be talking about over this series. Is that there's this covenant that God first made with Abraham. And then it goes on to Isaac and then to Jacob. And then in a way to Joseph, and then for a little bit, it kind of goes south. Well, the people of Israel are in captivity in Egypt, and then Moses comes along and rescues the people out of this captivity. And then this covenant, this same promise God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he extends that to the whole nation of Israel. So when it talks about how your families, how the blessing for Abram is for the families of all the earth. Later here in just a second, we're going to talk about how his descendants are going to outnumber the stars. This blessing, right? It wasn't just from one family to the next. It expanded to the whole nation of Israel. And if you're paying close attention to Scripture, that covenant, that promise, is the same promise that Jesus Matthew 5 says that he's come to fulfill. And when we take communion, just like we did a few weeks ago on Christmas Eve, And when we read about how the juice represents Jesus' blood poured out as a new covenant for us, it is this covenant, it's this promise, it's this blessing that we can draw a line through Scripture to see that the blessing that Abram received is the blessing that we still have. And the blessing would come in the form of Jesus. And it's this phrase, I will be your God and you will be my people. You see, Abram had one God. He didn't worship many gods. He had one God. And his faithfulness to his one God was a catalyst for others to receive that same blessing of God. His faith positioned him to be a blessing to others, and we, are, even today, are recipients of that. I love the conversations that you read. If you do read along with me this over the series through Genesis, right, you're going to see these conversations that God has with these men, specifically these conversations with Abram. And these back and forth conversations that we see between him and God, where God is continually giving him blessing and giving him promise over and over again, to the point that many of us would sometimes question that. Look at chapter 15, where it really starts into this idea of covenant. Verse 1, right? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. I just get this picture of this old man. We know he's over 75 at this point. And he's having this conversation with God. And he's talking about, God's talking about what he's going to give the generations that come after him. And Abram goes, What are you talking about? I don't have any kids and I'm too old. My heir is this guy. And God says, No, he's not. Walk with me. Come outside. Climb on the roof of the chapel. Look at the stars. Can you count them? I bet you can't. Your descendants are going to be more than all these stars. And here's the crazy thing. Because if that happened to me and I was 75 plus years old and I didn't have any kids, and God said that, I said, you know what, God? I've got 75 years of experience not being that. But Abram believed him. Abram received that blessing, and he had faith. And I love this verse. If you look, it's in verse 6, right? And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The faith of Abram was counted to him as righteousness. The idea of righteousness, the concept is being right with God. Sin makes us not right with God. But righteousness is being right with God. We who live under this new covenant of Jesus, Jesus makes us right with God. We have righteousness through Jesus. Abram didn't have Jesus yet, but what made him right with God was his faith to believe, his faith to receive this blessing, where so many other people would have probably laughed and gone, good try. In fact, later his wife actually laughs at this same thing. He kind of gets in a little bit of trouble. Don't laugh at angels when they show up. It's kind of weird. I'm not going to tell you about that. You can read it yourself. But the righteousness of Abram, this promise that he received, these blessings that he received, it came through his faith that God would do what God said he would do. And some of us are sitting here today and we're questioning God and we're questioning how things can happen the way that they're happening. And we've I think, mistaken this idea where, God, we want you to bless us, but blessing doesn't always mean good things. Don't miss the part where Abraham didn't have children until he was 100. He had 100 years of not having that blessing, including, I'm sure, the heartache and the frustration and the anger. Sometimes blessing isn't just all good things. And when we look at the world and go, where's the blessing? Sometimes we experience things because it prepares us to receive that blessing. Abraham's faith was counted as righteous. Here's the question. Is your faith counted to you as righteousness? Is your faith in God that strong that even when it doesn't seem possible, you're still there? Why was Abraham blessed? He placed his faith in God. He worshiped God. And he positioned himself to bless other people. Abram's blessing was more about God than it was about him. Think about that. It was more about God than it was about him. His worship of God. That wasn't his work. I mean, that wasn't worship about him. It was worship to God. He created. He lived in a place where he worshiped. He worshiped where he dwelled. God blessed him to bless other people. That wasn't about him. That was about the blessing of God being distributed to all. And even this last part, right? His faith in God, that God would do what God promised, is what counted him as right. Is what counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's blessing was more about God than it was about Abraham. And so maybe blessing isn't the little things that we get. It's not those stocking stuffers in life. It's something so much more. And maybe, just maybe, your blessings aren't about you. Maybe there's something so much more to it. You see, the blessings we receive from God are more than the good things that happen to us. They are God preparing us for what he wants to do. And sometimes what he wants to do is in us. Sometimes what he wants to do is through us. Sometimes what he wants to do is so that we can see lives transformed through Jesus. Do we approach blessing like this? We ask God to bless us. We sit down, and most of us, before we eat our food, we ask God to bless our food. But when we want God to bless us, are we really prepared for what that blessing might mean for us and for others? See, because the blessing of God changes the kingdom if we're faithful to it. I want to read this passage again, and I don't have it on a slide, but just the 2 Corinthians 9:8, right? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. It's not stocking stuffers, that's everything. God has created you to abound in every good work. In layman's terms, God created you on purpose for a purpose, and he's blessing you to fulfill his purpose. The song we sang at the very end of worship this morning, it's a powerful song. It's called The Blessing. And the song invokes a passage in Numbers chapter 6. And in Numbers chapter 6, we have Aaron, who is the priest. He's actually the brother of Moses, and who God instructs Aaron to pray this blessing over the nation, right? We're talking about this covenant, this promise. After God gives this covenant, it's gone through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and this is then through Moses to all of Israel receiving this covenant, this blessing, this promise, I will be your God, you will be my people. This covenant. And at the very end, God says to Aaron, the brother of Moses, the priest of Israel, pray this blessing over the people. And this is what he says. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. You see, in this passage, it's all of it. It's the blessing for Israel, but it's also the blessing through Israel. And I love this prayer. I love this concept. And I love that part of the covenant is blessing. God blesses his children because he has a purpose for them. Look, you can be sitting in this room, maybe you're watching online and going, okay, you say that, but I don't know if I feel like God has a purpose for me. Abraham didn't receive his blessing from God that we know in scripture until he was 75. He had to wait. But this is the promise that I know, is that God doesn't make mistakes. You weren't created on an accident. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And God blesses his children. He calls them to good work, and he prepares them and blesses them to do it. Now, I don't know if that's you. Maybe you know exactly what God has called you to. Maybe you recognize the blessing in how you worship God, and you recognize the blessing in how you're to bless others. And maybe you're great. You're good to go. But even me, sometimes I go, okay, God, like, why are you doing this? What are you preparing me for? I don't understand. And in those moments, if that's where you are, today is the day to lean into that worship. Today is the day to live that life where we pray continually, where we ask God to bless us. And we ask him to give us an understanding of what to do with that.